I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now,
he's feeding his children breakfast,
is a man who tried to Wally Pitt me off of this show. I said, not so fast.
He kept saying, what would it take for him not to come back?
What would it take for me to replace one Dirt Johnson? Well, not much, but thankfully it didn't happen and I'm still employed. We love him nonetheless. He's the columnist at The Oregonian, currently feeding his kids breakfast, at Bill Oram on Twitter. Bill, good morning to you. How are you today?
I thought that I was probably not going to be invited back after they caught me trying to replace your name on the little mailbox in the staff room with my name. Just like I had the label printer out and I just put Oram, comma, Bill, apostrophe, dirtier.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Didn't quite pull off. It would be a great joke, but I don't even know if we have a mailroom anymore. We used to have a mailroom at our home building.
We did, yeah.
I think we lost the mailroom in the move. We don't even have one anymore. Well, first off, thanks for hopping on. Good morning to you. Let's get to 48 hours ago, man. Everybody thought this week, wow, what a big week. The draft. What is Portland going to do at 11? Where do they go? And then, boom, bombshell on Monday night. Anthony Simons is traded to Boston. We've had varying takes all day, different people sharing different thoughts. You find out the news. What's the reaction from Bill Oram on Anthony Simons finally being traded and going to Boston?
All right, I'm going to tell you guys this, and I haven't shared this yet, and it probably doesn't reflect that well on me, but I had a source call me on, what day was that trade?
Monday night.
Monday.
So I had a source call me on Monday at 6 o'clock from another team who said, hey, the Blazers are linked to Drew Holiday. What the hell is that? Is that possibly real? And I sat there for a second, and I said, I cannot in my head come up with an explanation for why the Blazers would be trying to trade for Drew Holiday. Let me do some legwork on this. So then I come home, I text somebody with the Blazers and I say, hey, I've got something for you. And it takes them 10 minutes to get back to me. And in the 10 minutes it takes them to get back to me, I'm like, I'm getting set up. I don't know what it is exactly, but like somebody's trying to smoke out my sources. They've planted something. Like, I don't know what it is, but I'm not comfortable even checking this because it felt so far-fetched. So that was 7:30, 9 o'clock the trade happens. And I was absolutely, one, very angry at myself as a reporter, but two, needed some time to process it because it is not in line with how we view the Blazers moving in terms of, you know, going very young, trying to keep the books clean and financially flexible. You know, it does neither of those things. But I kind of think I like it. The more I think about it, the more I talk myself into it, because I do feel like Drew Holiday does several things that are good for the Blazers. You know, people want to kind of poo-poo the locker room component and the mentorship component. Look at that locker room. Who is the leader in there? Who is the veteran leader? Who has a presence? Who can help Scoot Henderson and Shaden Sharpe and Denny Avdia and Tumani Kamara? You know, I don't think it's DeAndre Ayton. I don't think it's Jeremy Grant. You know, Malcolm Brogdon was huge in that capacity, and you know he's gone, obviously. So I think that's huge. I think the way he defends and like the way he can, you know, kind of team up with Tumani Kamara on the wing, awesome. I also would highlight, I don't think the Blazers lost anything in this deal. Anthony Simons was done in Portland one way or another. If they had brought him back and tried to move him at the deadline or let him walk in free agency, this was over one way or another. By the way, Brandon, I think you owe me a beer for my 0%, by the way.
What do you mean 0%?
Send this man a pelican.
What do you mean?
You said what percent do they you said that there was a percentage chance when I was in studio that they were going to extend Anthony Simons to be like the future point guard of the Blazers, yeah. And I said 0%.
Look at Bill Oram.
He nailed it,
and he had the scoop on the trade before it even happened.
You're absolutely right.
It's not a scoop if you don't tell anybody about it. Let me tell you.
Well, can you get a post-scoop scoop credit?
Yeah, I give you post-scoop credit.
Because you're telling us you had a scoop, but you didn't follow the scoop up.
And I don't blame it, because if you would have texted me that, like a random text from Bill Orem, hey, Dirt, Drew Holiday, I would have said the same thing. This, what? Huh? I don't see it. That makes sense.
The other thing I want to say about this trade, like, Drew Holiday's a bad contract now. I don't know if it's a bad contract in a year or 2 years. And what it does for the Blazers is it preserves that salary slot with a player you don't mind having. Like, his contract lines up with Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant's contract stinks because you don't need Jeremy Grant. You don't want Jeremy Grant anymore. You like having Drew Holiday on your team. So, you know, you can ride out that contract because he is doing good things for you in-house and on the floor, even if he's on the downward slope of his career. And then, you know, in a year, 2 years, if you want to, you know, swing a trade for a high salary player, you have the money to match. You have a guy that other teams, you know, won't have to hold their noses to bring in for a year. So I think it's okay. I think that the positives outweigh the sort of things that I would have normally thought were stayaways in terms of the age and the, and the money.
Do you like it?
Especially if the Blazers can find some way to do something with Jeremy Grant.
Yes.
But I mean, that still feels like a long shot to me. Go ahead.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases. We'll follow it all, case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so that was going to kind of be my follow-up. Do you like this move if this is largely it? Like, they're going to obviously draft somebody, we assume. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll make a trade and go get a – who did I hear this morning? I was listening to one of the – like, maybe they go get a role guy on a team that wants a pick, and that's what they do. But assuming they just do their draft and they don't make another move, do you like the move then? Like, that has to change the math or the thought there, right?
Right. Totally. I mean, there's something sort of intriguing about this because it's happening before the draft and it's kind of like before the crazy season has really begun. You're kind of sitting there with that anticipation of like, oh, and what comes next? Like, I think that, you know, there is an element of we have to kind of let this play out. If they just make the pick and sort of, you know, that's it, and they say they're $6 million under the luxury tax. I mean, I think it's a little underwhelming, but I would say that it is. You know, I applaud doing something with Anthony Simons. Like, bringing Anthony Simons back for another year, to me, would have been just a big "what are we doing here" sort of decision. He did not fit with the young backcourt with Scoot and Shaden. You know, he was on a different, you know, kind of career trajectory. He wanted, you know, to be the featured ball dominant guard. That obviously wasn't going to happen in Portland. It's not going to happen in Boston either. But in Boston, like, he's joining sort of an existing, you know, blueprint. And
we'll see if he's on Boston.
Whereas, well, exactly. And I would also say, I mean, this trade has happened so early. This whole thing, you know, we've seen trades that, you know, get agreed to early on in the trading period expand to 3 teams, 4 teams. You know, this framework could change too, just given the way NBA deals sort of expand before the end of the moratorium. So, I think that, you know, that's worth watching too. I'd like to see them do more. I'd like to see them figure out some of the other ill-fitting pieces. But do you want them to trade a first-round pick to get off Jeremy Grant? Like, that doesn't seem very responsible. But I think one thing that Joe Cronin has shown, I mean, the last two big trades that Cronin has made, he's been the guy sending out picks, which is totally unorthodox and counterintuitive from how you expect a team in their position to operate. And so I think a lot of people automatically look at that and say, oh, you're the one sending out picks, therefore you are losing the trade. Hmm. You know, that may or may not be true. I mean, one thing that Cronin has told me many times is, you know, we believe we can go get, you know, equivalent picks back. Like, the picks that they traded for Denny Avdija, he's like, it is not hard for us to go get, you know, first back and recoup the coffers. But when he says things like that, I'm like, well, what were you thinking? Were you thinking Anthony Simons? Because you didn't get first back for Anthony Simons. Or probably would you have ever gotten first back for Anthony Simons? You're not going to get first back for Robert Williams. So I do wonder if that's something that sounds better than actually plays out in practice. But specifically in the Drew Holiday trade, I don't think the Blazers really gave anything up. And they took back, you know, a little bit more salary than we expected to, but I think the positive is that way. So here's the deal.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're at, but you're turning into a robot.
I think it's the breakfast. What are you feeding your kiddos for breakfast today?
They had, that sounds awesome. They had Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal.
Okay, that's a good go-to.
I'm stunned.
That's a good go-to.
I had him as carrots and grapes.
Granola
and...
guy? You think Orem's a granola guy?
Yeah, a little bit of that. It's the mustache.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, I saw him at the coast this past weekend.
I partied with him in Atlanta. Don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah,
right?
Touche,
Bill
Orem
gets after it, man. He knows what he's doing
you're
out there.
Right.
Lastly, because the signal's getting a little shaky, what do you want him to do tonight at 11, Bill?
I'm not a draft expert, I guess I would say. Like, I kind of fall in love with a bunch of different names over the course of a draft. You know, when you become like, oh my gosh, the guy from South Carolina, Murray Boyles. Love, oh God, that guy sounds great, even though he can't score. You know, Cedric Coward, he went to Willamette. Like, what are the odds of a guy from Willamette making it to the Trailblazers? So, like, I kind of fall in love with, like, different names. And I think at this point at 11, there's so many guys that, you know, I think I could probably talk myself into. It probably doesn't matter. That said, they've lost a lot of scoring with Anthony Simons. You know, they brought in another guy who's not going to be a go-to scorer, somebody who maybe has a little bit of offensive pop, a reliable shooter. If there's somebody there who can shoot the three, that would probably be where I'd be looking, because that's something they're missing right now when you look at this roster construction.
Yeah,
that Coward piece was really well done, dude.
I'm
rooting for him to be a Blazer. I think it'd be really cool, but it was cool to see a Willamette guy get that kind of love and to be in this position.
Yeah, it's one of the craziest things. I mean, I've seen in like an NBA pre-draft to come to the realization that a dude went to Willamette and, you know, he's going to be a millionaire here in just a few hours.
Yeah,
and he wants to beat Linfield. That's all he wants.
Isn't that crazy? It's just insane. Bill Orem is our guest. Great stuff as always. The columnist at the Oregonian. You can go give him a follow on Twitter at Bill Orem. He's on Blue Sky as well. And I look forward to hearing what you got to write about tonight and what the Blazers do. It should be an entertaining 24 hours. And let's do this again soon. Thanks, Bill.
I'll be back.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.